Our next guest is Chief Executive of the Australian Conservation Foundation, Kelly O'Shaughnessy. Good afternoon.
Hey, Tom.
Were you pleased with what the ANZ had to say this morning?
Well, not necessarily, and it sounds like some of your listeners aren't either, but maybe from a different angle. So really what ANZ are saying is they'll continue to fund coal and gas for decades to come. And we know that coal and gas is really dangerous because it fuels global warming and dangerous weather like last summer's bushfires. So we have to switch to clean energy. We've got 10 years to transition well and carefully, but ANZ are saying they're not going to be starting that transition for another 5 years, and they're not putting any sort of exit dates. So they will be investing in the dirty polluting fuel for decades to come, and the clock is ticking on climate change.
Okay, but what about agriculture though? I mean, particularly if you farm animals, it's like cows. It's pretty difficult to stop them doing what animals do, which is farting at times. Now, to sit there and tell farmers, well, you can't farm animals anymore, like we've all got to become vegetarians, that's going a bit far, isn't it?
Well, I'm not going to defend ANZ, but I don't think that's what this policy does, because it talks about coal and gas, which is where most of the carbon emissions are coming from.
So it talks about agriculture too.
Well, it talks about moving away too slowly, but of coal and gas, and it talks about working with their 100th biggest customers. So as far as I'm aware, there aren't farmers that are farming coal and gas, and the farming community are not part of ANZ's 100th biggest customers. So their CEO has said that this policy doesn't affect farming. But what climate change does is affect farming. So if we don't take action on climate change, if we keep burning coal and gas, farmers are going to be the hardest hit. And that's why the National Farmers Federation actually support climate action and support net zero emissions.
Well, the Deputy Leader of the National Party does not support this ANZ move. That's David Littleproud. Do you honestly think that within 10 years we can, I mean, when it comes to the energy sector, which is, as you say, is the big emitter of gases like CO2, do you think we really can get to no net emissions?
Yeah, Tom, there's been a heap of studies on particularly energy, and it shows that Australia can be fueled and powered by 100% clean energy by 2030. Some other countries may take a little bit longer, but the whole world can move to renewable energy sources over the next couple of decades. It's actually 100% possible. What you need is the investment behind making it happen. And as you just mentioned to your caller earlier, you actually need the governments to have the policies to support it. So rather than lobbing stones at businesses that are trying to do the right thing, our governments need to put in place climate policies.
But just getting back to your point, though, that in 10 years we can have all our energy needs met by renewable or clean energy. I mean, people say that, you just said it, but I never hear the detailed plan as to how that will happen. I mean, for example, generating that much electricity. And if, for example, we all bought an electric car tomorrow and got rid of every petrol and diesel vehicle in Australia, which obviously they number in the tens of millions, I mean, we don't have a grid that can handle that much extra electrical usage each day.
Yeah, so there are a lot of studies done that can show that we can have our electricity powered by 100% clean energy by 2030. You do need to upgrade the grid, but it's absolutely possible, and it's going to make energy more affordable. But that's not the same thing for transport. We're a little bit further behind on transport because we don't have a plan in Australia to move to electric vehicles while the rest of the world is moving to electric vehicles.
Okay, but I mean, even at night time, like, you know, the big issue is storing electricity. Like, I have a battery and solar panels in my house. It's sort of like an experiment. Now, I reckon we're getting 60%, probably in summer, 70% of our electrical usage is done by the battery and solar, but I still need to draw upon the grid. And I've got the most panels I can put. I suppose I could get a bigger battery, but I'm not sure that would make much difference. I mean, I don't think we've got the technology yet on a mass scale to have that much storage of power so that we can just draw on it each night.
Well, actually, large-scale storage is really important to your lives. If every house did it, that would be a huge battery of the nation if every house had solar panels and batteries. That would be a great thing to do, and you can even connect up houses, and they're doing experiments on this energy companies in Adelaide to show how do 100 houses work together to produce all their energy needs. But we do need those large-scale storage systems that you've talked about. Again, they're super competitive now. They're cost-effective. This is where we need government policy and banks' investments to be going, because it will make clean energy, 100% clean energy, possible and really affordable for Australians, that we see our energy bills actually dropping in Australia if we went to clean energy and away from coal and gas.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Kelly O'Shaughnessy, Chief Executive of the Australian Conservation Foundation. Well, again, I've been doing this as an experiment at my house. What I hear from solar installers is that the solar panel battery combo works really well in Queensland because they have more sunshine, pretty well in New South Wales. It can be a bit iffy in Victoria, and it struggles in Tasmania. And I just don't think there's any getting away from that.